Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day.
Let's do this. Let's do this.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Come on. Drop
us in. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Matt Ryan's ready. Tannehill's ready. Everybody in the AFC West is up and ready. Dak's ready. Jalen Hurts is ready. Carson Wentz, even he's ready. Matthew Stafford. Ooh, my arm.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney. Coming up, former NFL general manager Thomas Dimitroff. Former Pro Bowl center Eric Wood. Plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number two of this show on the air here on our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Also the home of our near 8-year history of our extensive library of all the guests and all the segments that we've had over 8 years of fun here on this program that moves and migrates to the Roku channel starting on Monday. It is going to be a lot of fun there, just like it's always been in every spot that we've been for the almost 8 years. And we say hello again to our YouTube streamers today and who've been enjoying watching the show live on our YouTube stream the last couple weeks. But the live version of this show exclusively moving to the Roku channel starting on Monday. And it's going to be great. And the best thing, it's going to be free. And our friends, our new friends at Roku, they've been so supportive. They've been so terrific. We're just as fired up as they are. They're just as fired up as us. And I'm loving it. And you're going to love it as well. Any Roku player, any Roku device, any Samsung smart television, any Amazon Fire TV, any mobile device, you put the Roku app there and the Roku channels on the Roku app, you get it for free. And so many people have said that they stream this show live on a desktop. Guess what? The RokuChannel.com. We are free there too. Every day, 12 to 3 Eastern, it's still going to be us folks here and you hopefully there as well. We're still on our Westwood One Terrestrial Radio affiliate network coast to coast, still on Odyssey. We will have in short order, promise you, information how to follow us and listen to us on Sirius and XM as well. That's going to happen. And I can't wait to bring you that information as well. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Former Buffalo Bill Eric Wood is in town for tonight's kickoff just up the road at SoFi. He's joining us in hour number three. Thomas Dimitroff, the former executive, front office executive in Atlanta and also spent a lot of time in New England. He's going to be joining us in about 20 minutes' time. But we turn to the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line for a man who just, and his Clemson Tigers, just beat Georgia Tech in week number one. They're the fifth-ranked team in these United States entering week two of the college football season. He is a newsmaker of the first variety, and he just signed a new contract extension in Clemson. Two-time national champion head coach on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line from Clemson, Dabo Swinney. How you doing, Coach?
I'm good, Rich. Good to be with you, man. Hope you're well.
I am doing fine. So congrats on the contract extension. How long has this been in the works for yourself?
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, honestly, it's something that our new AD, Graham Neff, approached, you know, my agents about really last December. And so something that, and I think he just wanted to, you know, he really kind of drove the timing, to be honest with you. And so just thankful and humbled and, you know, grateful to him and our board and just, you know, all the players and staff that we've had for all the years here and to have the opportunity to, you know, call Clemson our home. I've been here, this is my 20th season and my 14th as the head coach. So it's been, I've raised, as you said, you've got three kids. I've got three kids and they all have grown up here in Clemson. My baby was born here. And so it's been I got two graduates of Clemson and my youngest just became a freshman. So certainly a place that we love and just thankful that got the opportunity to continue to do something that I love at a place I love.
Well, normally when I'm talking to somebody like yourself with your stature and your resume and you've just signed an extension, a long-term extension, after having been where you are for so long, I would ask how things have changed since you've been there and We all know how they've changed. So I guess my question with college football is what do you think it's going to look like in 2030, Coach? I think that's the more valuable question here with the state of affairs, don't you think?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's what's it going to look like in 2024 is probably more valid. It's a crazy time right now in college athletics. A lot of change, a lot of unknowns. I do think things are heading in a good direction. I think the popularity of the sport's never been better. That's for sure. And there's I think certainly some type of major change coming probably structurally sooner than later when it comes to, I think governance structure, how the Power Five is organized and, we've got expansion coming. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, but people love college football. There's no doubt about that. And I think we're well positioned. We've been a school that has kept the main thing for years. And, we've been one of the top academic football programs in the country for many years now. And, our plan is for that to continue to be the case and to continue to win at a high level, on and off the field and, have a program that graduates our players and really, builds them and equips them for whatever comes next after football and after Clemson and make sure they have a good experience and make sure we win championships. And that really hasn't changed. But there's a lot of new things to navigate as we go through it. But I do think that, again, there's always unintended consequences from good changes that come about. But I think we're heading in a good direction. And, honestly, the more chaos, the better, in my opinion, because I think we kind of get there sooner than later, where ultimately I think it's going to be.
Well, I mean, and I know you're in the midst of a playing season now, and I know you're getting ready for Furman on your schedule, Louisiana Tech, and then your ACC schedule right after that. But this is the first time I have spoken to you since you said that the sport was headed for a complete blow up, and you called the transfer portal total chaos, referring to it as tampering galore. So that would indicate that you thought that football was headed in the wrong direction. So have you changed your stance on those subject matters?
No. I still we still have chaos. I just think it's going to ultimately lead us where, I think it's going. And that is a restructuring of college football, because I think college football needs that. College football, in particular, the Power Five need a new governance structure, and there's no doubt about that. And I think for the first time, really, since I've been in college athletics, the decision makers, I think, agree with that. And figuring out what that looks like, I think, is the next step. Some of the unintended the transfer is good. The fact that guys can go places, that's great. But there's a lot of unintended consequences that come with that. And, there is tampering. There is some, young people being manipulated and making decisions for, wrong reasons. There's a lot of things that come with it, but the good from it far outweighs the bad. And I think it'll all settle out. It's chaotic for sure right now. I don't think there's ever been more chaos when it comes to just, where we are organizationally, structurally, governance-wise, enforcement of rules, all those type of things. There's a lot of moving parts, but I do think that is going to ultimately drive us to a better place, and bring about some of the, I think, big changes that need to happen in college football.
Well, I mean, those changes would probably be easier to implement if there was a smaller subset of schools in its own world to govern themselves, right? And I'm here in Los Angeles, Dabo Swinney, otherwise now known as Big Ten country, which I never thought was possible. right? So the question is what, let's just say there's a smaller subset of schools, right? And you're part of it.
Yeah.
And they ask you, what do you think needs to be done to guardrail matters? What would be your stance on, say, NIL on that front? Just the guardrail on that. Anything?
Yeah, well, there, and again, there's the NIL is great, but you know, there again, in some instances, it's being used in a way it's not intended. I think the NIL is another great opportunity for us to further equip our guys to be ready for the world. You know, it's a part of the education process, and it's things that we've always tried to equip our guys with financial literacy and you know, tax education and all these things. And so now you've got a chance to have some real world application of that. Which I think would be good, but I think just, you know, again, if the way you're structured now, it's just not feasible anymore. And honestly, it's probably been antiquated for a while, but, you know, and I'm not saying, and I think there still should be, there's definitely a role for the NCAA. You have to have order. You have to have structure. You have to have some type of guidelines and rules in place, and without it, it does lead to chaos and uncertainty. And you know, we've got a situation right now in college football where it's a mess. It's a lot of gray. I mean, you know, and that leads to, you know, tampering and a lot of people being involved that don't need to be involved. And I think it more importantly, it distracts from the main thing, and that is our responsibility in college athletics, that is to educate young people. You know, I believe that we have to stay focused on the scholastic aspect of college athletics. And, you know, we know 98% of these young men are not going to play in the pros. And we have to equip them. And I think, you know, as we modernize the game, modernize the structure, further share and incentivize players, but do it through the academic process and incentivize education and graduation and all those things. So I think there's a lot of moving parts and people a lot smarter than me that will figure out. But I do think to do that, you've got to have a different governance structure, because you can't have, you know, we have a football oversight committee, for example, and you know, the makeup of that is not reflective of the needs from the Power Five, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, whether that's good or bad or whatever, that's just the way it is. And then you have an NCAA council where, you know, you're trying to make soccer the same as football or whatever. And it's just, there's just different worlds. And I think that there's a real role still for the NCAA. But I do think being able to streamline things and be much more efficient in decisions that need to happen, like that could happen in a day or a week, you know, takes years. And that whole process is just, it just doesn't work. And, you know, so that's what I mean by the more chaos, the better, because I think it ultimately is driving everything to a better place that we're going to land. When we get there, I don't know. Is it next year? Is it 24? Is it 2031, as you said there? I don't know. But I do think there has to be some type of break where things can be done on a timely manner that are reflective of the membership. And so it's just not our reality right now. But you know, I do think college football will get there at some point. There'll be a lot of smart people. And what does that look like? You know, is there a commissioner? Are there leagues or are they divisions?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as the expansion grows, you know, how all that gets shaken out, a lot of smart people will figure it out. But I know this, man. Our main objective is to build great men through this game, and to make sure that we teach them to use the game and not let the game use them. And, you know, that has to be the objective. And, you know, college athletics provides access and opportunity and relationships and experiences and you know, opportunities to create life-changing you know, transformation, you know, throughout people's lives. So I think it's a great platform. And again, a lot of good days ahead. And,
sure.
You know, sometimes you got to go through some stuff, but we're going to get there.
Well, I mean, in terms of getting there faster, which you've said a couple times, a few minutes left here with Dabo Swinney, the Clemson head coach your domino could blow this thing completely up if you choose or Clemson chooses to tap out of the ACC at some point. And I understand there's television rights and things that make my eyes glaze over, and I'm sure my listeners and viewers as well as your eyes glaze over as well. But if Clemson decides to move on and join another conference, that would speed this process up, I think, considerably. Notre Dame's another one, and you guys play each other. By the way, get ready for these questions that week leading up to that game too, Dabo Swinney. But how active is Clemson on that front right now? Can you share with us?
Oh, man, I have no idea. I leave that up to the people that are involved. Man, we've been a charter member of the ACC for a long time. You know, we got a great league. Yeah, there's some complications. There's some challenges. But again, I think ultimately it's going to all be driven by a group of people that eventually will get in a room together and put all feelings aside and do what's best for college football. I think ultimately we'll get there. And I think things where we are right now is probably going to be very different in a couple of years. And we'll probably be looking back at today and go, well, I thought this was going to happen and it didn't. So I don't know about all that stuff. I just know that, you know, my job is to have our team ready and to make sure that we have a program that, you know, is a model program in college football. And that's what we're going to continue to do, whether we're in the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac, whatever, or the new world college football league. I have no idea. Man, we're going to Clemson is a special place and going to always be a special place. And it'll always be one of those programs that's going to, you know, have a seat at the table.
Do you like the 12-team playoff idea that was forwarded and apparently approved? Do you like that, Coach?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm a traditional college guy, and you know, I'll be honest with you, I like the BCS. I thought that was just fine, and
wow,
the four was just fine.
You like the computers?
And, you know, I think
you like the computers and the slide rule and all those. You like that?
I just couldn't figure it out. I just think that. Well, I think with the governance structure, that's one of the reasons why I think there needs to be a new governance structure, because having a tournament with 131 teams, you know, for football, because football is really not a tournament sport.
Yes.
And you know, I think it waters it down, and that's another reason why I think if expansion is what we want, then there has to be some change there. You know, the NFL, there's a reason why they have 32 teams, you know, and so it is what it is. People want that, and there's some consequences that will come with that. I think it's going to be great. People love college football, you know, and people think that more is better, and maybe that will be the case, and a lot of people can debate, but there will be some consequences with that when it comes to, you know, maybe some in-season type of things. But I'm excited about it, and, you know, because, again, we all knew this was coming, so the sooner the better, you know, because then we can move on and focus on, you know, what we got to do to manage getting our teams ready and what's the calendar going to look like, how do we, you know, prepare all those things, because there'll be a lot of change that will come with a 12-team playoff. So it'll certainly create more access for more teams, you know, we'll be ready and willing here to participate in however it shakes out.
Before I let you
12 or 8 or 16 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, do you have a quarterback competition maybe on your hands in your current team?
We got a left tackle competition, a receiver competition, a running back competition, a quarterback competition. I mean, we've got, you know, 3 5-star quarterbacks in our room, and you know, DJ has earned the right to be the starter without question, but we got, you know, Cade has demonstrated that, man, you know, he can win for us based on what we've seen in practice, and then we finally got a chance to get a little bit of game experience, but he's certainly proven that, hey, he deserves the opportunity to play you know, within the flow of the game or season as we go. And, you know, so nobody has a lifetime contract. you know, in college football, man. You gotta show up every week, and you gotta go prove it and earn it. And I don't think we're any different than a lot of places out there. But we're very fortunate, man. We've got really good players. DJ is a very talented young man, and did a lot of good things last week, especially in the second half. And then to be able to get Cade in there was a blessing too. So, you know, hopefully we can get Hunter Johnson some opportunity as well. He's another, you know, very talented player. So we've got a good situation, but we certainly have competition at every position, which I think makes us, you know, a team that has an opportunity to compete for this league.
And last one for you, Coach. You know, I have not seen a quarterback come into the league like Trevor Lawrence and have a set of circumstances surround him in his first year quite like what Trevor Lawrence went through last year. Have you spoken with him and connected with him about what happened last year and how this year, I mean, you talk about a fresh start. My goodness. I don't even know how you can evaluate him off of that first season, frankly. So.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. I've seen him, talked to him and many times, during the season last year, after the season, you know, this preseason, I mean, he's in a great place. No matter what happens, we all learn and grow from the good and the bad.
Right.
You know, sometimes you learn more from the bad than the good. He's in a good place, and man, he loves where they are, and I don't have any doubt that he's got better days ahead. You know, with both individually and then also, you know, with their team there in Jacksonville. So I'm excited to see him get back at it, and he's excited. And just like I said, he's grown a lot and learned a lot. Again, good and bad, and he'll build on that.
Coach, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Let's connect down the line, if you don't mind, throughout the season. Your Clemson Tigers well-positioned after 1 week. You know, it's early on, but I appreciate the sense, the 2 cents figuratively, and then congratulations on your dollars and cents and your long-term contract for your family.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Take care. That's Dabo Swinney, the head coach of Clemson football here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we return to the world of professional football. Thomas Dimitroff, who is assistant GM, if I'm not mistaken, once upon a time was named Les Snead, who's raising a banner tonight. Lots to talk about with TD, formerly of the ATL, when we come back. We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, like how they require minimums, and worse, how their rewards flat out expire. Or we could talk about how with Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. And now that we've talked about that, let's get back to the Rich Eisen Show. You know, the stuff we talk about here. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Longtime friend. TD and I go way back. Not to his New England days, his Atlanta general managing days. And I just remember him being here in Los Angeles, California, with his right-hand man talking about the future of the Atlanta Falcons. His right-hand man was named Les Snead. And tonight, Les Snead is the general manager of the team, raising a banner, and he's got a new contract of being the general manager of the Los Angeles Rams through 2026. Same thing as Sean McVay is locked up. Joining us here back on the Rich Eisen Show, Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, the host of the GM Journey podcast and so much more, my friend Thomas Dimitroff. What's up, Thomas?
Rich, it is so great to hear you, and thanks. It's been a while, and I can't wait to connect.
I mean, let's do it. I mean, you remember that time in Los Angeles? It was you and Les and I were all having a drink, and look at Les, man, right? Look at where Les is today. Unbelievable.
Look at Les, effing them picks, being where he is. He is the maverick GM in this league, and I love it. He and I talk more regularly now than we probably ever have, and it's been a really enjoyable journey watching him develop and evolve, man. It's really cool, Rich.
Well, it's the maverick, I guess you're referring to, is the effing of picks, right? But it's not all the picks. Clearly, they make draft choices, and they're important draft choices for him to make and for him and his staff to hit on. But what are you willing to share with everybody about his general managing and his thinking that's led to tonight's banner raising, Thomas?
Well, look, it's a great point, and the way I look at it is, of course, Les knows the importance of personnel, draft-related personnel. He also understands the importance of there are projections. It's one of the most difficult things as a general manager per acquisition. It's projecting in the NCAA into the NFL. And what he has done and his group has done is make sure that they're focusing on the people out there, the free agents that they're acquiring, pay the money for them, don't have any uncertainties about them for the most part, know what they are and what they aren't as the acquisitions that he's made. And if some of those guys aren't, you know, necessarily completely alert in meetings, I won't go on to that, they know what it is and they know what to expect. They'll get the most out of that player. And then really focus on those mid-rounds and try to make sure that you're putting the focus on those mid-rounds, get the guys right at the front of the free agency mode. And I think they have a really, really keen approach to this. It's not just relying on the value of draft picks. It's putting the best team together. And I say this time and again, that general manager in this league, I learned this from Bill Belichick, no question. You know your team better than anyone else. Everyone else can project. Les knows all facets of his team. He knows what's best for he and Coach McVay. And I just, again, admiral in his approach.
And when did you first meet him, Thomas? When did he first get on your radar?
Yeah. It's a great point. Les and I ended up meeting way, way back in the early years of our career. I'd say, man, almost 25 years ago. And we were close. We got along a lot from the standpoint of fitness and eating food. We weren't out there big party guys, but we had a really good interaction with a lot of people in the league. And our focus was on football as well as life in general. And we both always had an interest in trying to grow and professionally develop. And that's where our friendship grew. We ended up communicating in between those times before we even became partners, you know, at the Atlanta Falcons. And to go into the Falcons and Les to be there as my right-hand guy was really, really important at the outset. I needed the right soldiers around me, and Les was great with that early on in that process.
Thomas Mitroff here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, week one of an NFL season for a general manager. I mean, is your work pretty much done? Practice squad set, roster set. You know, I mean, you have to massage the cap a little bit. Maybe you get someone to make. I guess I just saw the Steelers got T.J. Watt's deal kind of redone to give him some more cap room. What does a week one for a general manager mean right now, Thomas?
You know what? Yeah, week one's, Rich. I think, you know, you look at your entire roster, you look at your organization, you're really, really focused on week one and kicking it off in the right way. There's been a lot of talk out there about week one. You're hoping that your head coach as a general manager is going to be really creative with week one. And I think week one presents these teams with the opportunity to be creative. They can throw twists into their approach because there's been nothing really revealed for the most part in the preseason, right? So I think that's an important thing. Regarding roster and roster optimization, to me that is vital. You need to not only see what you have in place, but you also need to continue to look out and always be in front of the curve. That's the way I've always perceived it. And I'm sure in this situation, Les does. He looks at what his roster is. He looks at what may be coming up as far as contracts, of course. He's got his staff out on the road already starting their college looks. And he starts putting his mind as a general manager, I'm talking about Les, to see what is out there and what direction he's going to go to fill those ostensible needs down the road with his group. Week one, mm-hmm. pressure laden for sure, but you need to kick it off. It's like you know, just putting your feet into it all, dipping your toes into it. Once that starts, you get into a role. But man, it is pressure laden coming into the first game.
And what an off season it was. I mean, we were just talking about it, Thomas, in the first hour, that this is going to be the the best NFL season ever because that March where we saw retirements and unretirements and we saw top-notch A-list players on the move at quarterback, wide receiver, and Bobby Wagner being the last, I guess, move of March. Now he's between Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. Which of the March moments, free agent signings, acquisitions, trades, retirement, unretirement, do you think is the most impactful for the season, where you as a GM get ready for your GM Journey podcast and everything else going on in your world? You're like, that's the one. That's the one that's the difference maker. Which one?
Wow. Well, that, there are so many out there, that I looked at. Like you said, I mean, it's an amazing year. It's fun to watch now, stepping back and to be able to take it all in.
But you may only choose one, Thomas. You may only choose one. That is the construct. I'm putting you in the box. This is Sports Talk Radio, for crying out loud. What do you got for me?
I mean, Russell Wilson, all eyes are on at so many levels on that. If you're referring to something like that,
yes,
it goes way beyond the acquisition for George Payton and the Broncos to do what they perceived as the right thing, to know the repercussions of what's going on in Seattle with John Snyder and company. That is another big deal. That there's so much going on there. How it's going to affect the rest of the division, how it's truly going to affect the perception of quarterbacks into their 30s and the payment and the numbers that are going involved. This, to me, is a really interesting crossroads for this week. I go all the way back to when I pulled the trigger on Matt Ryan to give him his final contract when I was there. And we had everyone different levels saying, you know, he only give him, you know, 2.95% or 29 and a quarter. And, you know, making that decision to go up to $30 million, knowing that right around the corner in the next 2 months, someone's going to jet past them. This league is amazing where the money is at all levels, not only with quarterbacks in this situation, with general managers and head coaches. It's amazing to see it. I think Russell Wilson is the one I'm watching the closely at all levels.
Well, and then, of course, the Deshaun Watson contract having so many ripple effects, even though Arizona, number with one quarterback, and then Denver with another, with Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, did not fully guarantee the entire deal. The first two. So how do you see that playing out with Eric DaCosta and Lamar Jackson, who set a Friday deadline on getting something done? What's your sense of there?
Yeah, and that's an interesting one to watch. They know how important that quarterback is. I mean, personally, I see him playing out. They want to get that deal done, and they should want to get that deal done. He offers so much to that organization. Of course, there are creative elements that come with a quarterback like Lamar. They also know there are challenges. Hopefully they can have the right people around them. I love that organization. I think they're so well thought out. And of course, Eric's going to do the right thing. And I think it's taking care of business as it needs to be done.
So what do you think it is? What's your assessment of what the holdup is? Because you got, again, a contract like Watson sitting out there, and then you've got a player representing himself. I imagine you've never had something like that you dealt with back in your day. But what is the issue? Best you can tell.
You know, personally, again, I think the issue is making sure that they, again, they realize the value of this quarterback, of course,
right?
And they just want to make sure, again, you know, not dealing with agent. I have not dealt with that before. That is new to me. But the idea of being able to jump in and say we are committing for X amount of years to a system and an approach that we know we're going to have to approach with this type of a quarterback, I think that weighs on their mind. I don't think it's that easy, although I think it's really, really important for them to check the box on and make sure it's done here.
Thomas Dimitroff, I'd like you to put your Belichick whisperer hat on, knowing him or being around him for as much as you were back in the day. What do you think is going on with the play calling there? I mean, all of New England is freaking out going into this number two season for Mac Jones after a remarkable first year making the playoffs as a rookie, and Josh McDaniels not being there, handing the play calling off to two guys he knows very well, or one guy he knows very well, and handing it off to somebody who's never done it before. What do you think his thinking is right now, Thomas?
I believe that, you know, Bill has a very good understanding of what's around him. And that's one of the things that Bill had always taught anyone that comes through there. You know your group. You know your intelligence. First of all, I don't think Bill gives a flip about what any of us think about this. We all know that. And secondly, I think even though there's a whole bunch of banter out there about who should take the lead on it, I think Bill knows deep down that he's going to be the overview of all of this. He's got two really important and smart people in that role. Whether they're defensive-minded or offensive-minded, I was curious to see how that was going to play out. And I really believe that, you know, he wants a little bit of the mystery to it. Bill never wants to, if I may speak about him, yeah. I don't think he ever wants to reveal anything. He wants to, there to be a little bit of mystery to it so that people can't point to any different, any elements of play calling leading into this season.
But wouldn't it be, I guess, I shall have the temerity to question, wouldn't it be more sensible to get somebody who has done it before and bring that person in and teach them the Patriot way, the Belichick way, rather than bringing in somebody who's fully versed on the Patriot way and the Belichick way and handing them the reins of a very important season for their sophomore year quarterback, Thomas?
Yes, I just think with Coach Belichick, I think his approach has always been he knows best. And he's going to be putting his group in the right situation as they are. And whoever he ends up pulling the trigger on the play calling, he's got a plan for that already. And I can't sit there and sort of, you know, project why he's doing it necessarily, but for the fact that he knows best. He's already had those guys, I'm sure, you know, on the board many, many times talking about how they would approach it. And I think he's extremely confident with his intelligence level there. And in the end, I mean, Bill is Bill. Bill does not think, I believe, that there's anyone in the league that can go toe-to-toe with him per, you know, the logistics and the play calling of his team.
Last one for you, Thomas. I'm going to give you another sports talk radio question, so here we go. You can only choose one roster, the Super Bowl winning roster. What do you take? You can take one roster on the National Football League and say, I will take that roster to win it all. Which roster is it entering week one? What do you got?
Look, I'm a huge fan of both the game tonight, and I'm a big fan of the Bills, and I just think I love where the Bills are right now. I love what they're doing with Brandon being at the lead of it all. I know this isn't roster-related. I love what they're doing with Sean McDermott as a coach GM Bill. That's a big thing for me. Where they are on the roster with Josh Allen, of course, Stephon Diggs. I mean, look, I just think they are rounded, and they have the approach that they know about. They're going to come with a lot of fierceness to them. And I think they are gung ho and very, very focused to come in and kick a lot of ass in this situation. So I'd go with them.
You like the Bills? Just like, I mean, everybody's on them, and I'm on them too, Thomas. I'm on them too. You just look at the way that they are rostered and put together, and then what beats inside when they actually play the game. It's tough not to take them. It really is. You know.
I agree. I think again. You know, what they're facing, any team coming in with that background and their approach and what they're putting their money into mm-hmm. and how they're looking at things and understanding the importance of morale and growth and evolution, that's been fun watching that. And anytime anyone's put together a winning type of team, there are so many layers. Rarely, in my mind, is it luck. Of course, the ball has to bounce your way. But again, you're not only talking about the roster itself, you're talking about how the organization is set up. And I just think the Bills are a class organization with a lot of upside, of course.
By the way, I lied. I have one more. I always have one more. You want to take your best guess on the first situation where a rookie's going to start? You got something for me there? What's your best guess? Could it be your old spot? Could it be your old spot, Pittsburgh? Could it possibly be Tennessee, Washington? What do you got for me on that?
I think it's Pittsburgh. I think they're – well, it's not Pittsburgh, right? No, I don't think so. Let me jump around here.
Sure, go ahead.
Let's talk eventually Pittsburgh. Are you talking on day one?
No, I'm talking about which, you know, invariably the drafted rookie gets a shot. What do you think? Where do you think the first one is there? Is it Desmond Ridder in your old spot? Could it be Trubisky sitting because they think Pickett's ready? Could it be Sam Howell in Washington? Could it be Malik Willis, who looked terrific in the preseason, but it is preseason? That's those are your options now.
You know, these are great, Rich. Look, I'm going to stay in Atlanta since I'm sitting here down the street from the stadium, and I will say, Ridder, I think Marcus Mariota, great soul, as you know, great person.
Yes.
That organization, I think, believes they know what they have in Marcus, and they know they need to start getting this organization their heads around a growing, you know, prospect for the future. And like we did with Matt Ryan way back. We were very creative with how we put him on the scene early. Mm-hmm. We made sure we surrounded him with the right people. They've done a nice job, you know, Terry Fontenot and co, as far as putting together that offensive group. After coming off some major moves with the receiver group leaving, of course, and Matt Ryan leaving, I mean, there's a lot around this organization that needs to help Ridder grow, understand the need to increase their run game or improve their run game. That is vital. And I think they're going to go after that a little bit into the season and realize what they have in Desmond.
Speaking of growing and making the most of things, what's going on with Sumer Sports? You involved in an analytics startup along with your podcast? Is that what you're doing, TD?
I am. Yeah, I am. Rich, the podcast itself, very quickly, GM Journey, I love that. I set out last year to go out and, you know, interview 16 or 17 in the spirit of professional development. I didn't want to, like, end up in Burgundy drinking, like, French wine all off season, so I thought I'd go out and spend time with my contemporaries and had a great time there, learned a lot. That was a great adventure that I had there, and a lot of really cool stuff to share. And by the way, let me add, and I am defending my GM brethren here, I think too often in this league, the general managers are marginalized. The general managers bring so much to the table, so much insight and intelligence and direction for this league. And I think too often the owners, the head coach, the quarterback take the stage. And I understand that there is a lot to glean from these GMs. So very, very important as we're moving forward. And oh, by the way,
yes, sir,
a whole other topic. You get a GM and you get a head coach. That salary gap is huge right now. That's a whole other topic of conversation. Head coaches should be making a lot of money. I get it. There should not be the gap that there is, generally speaking, between the two in my mind. That's one thing. Sumer Sports, if you don't mind me asking or adding, Sumer is a startup company that I joined about 7 or 8 months ago. I'm really excited about being involved with it. Where the world is right now in the league and the evolving elements of data analytics, roster optimization is really key to me and dear to my heart. I think there's a lot to learn and a lot to grow in that area. And quite honestly, versus me going and having an opportunity to be, you know, an assistant GM somewhere or a consultant for one of my buddies at a team, I can learn a lot more in this world for now if there ever were to be another opportunity on my doorstep.
Thomas, you're the best man. Let's stay in touch throughout the season. I'd love to get your thoughts on what we're about to witness. Thanks for the time, brother.
Thank you so much, brother.
That's Thomas Dimitroff. Check out his podcast, the GM Journey Podcast, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take a break. Jameis Winston with a new take on the children's hit Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes. And more of your phone calls. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show.
Tired of reporting fire drills? ValueOps, the value stream management solution from Broadcom, is built to manage what you value most. ValueOps means more visibility, not more meetings, instant access to data, and actionable insights to make reporting easier. It's one platform for everyone, with specific features to support your job. ROI is tracked at every step, so there's more value for you and your customers. To schedule a free demo, go to broadcom.com/value.
Opening a business checking account shouldn't be harder than running your business. So why do most banks still make you go into a branch? With Live Oak Bank, you can open an account online in minutes. That's because they put you at the center of every decision they make. With convenient digital access and superior customer support, that's small business checking simplified. Open a business checking account today at liveoakbank.com/businesschecking.
We're back here on our terrestrial radio outfit. When you become a member of Navy Federal Credit Union, guess what? Life gets better. It gets better because the one big thing that gets better is buying a car. See, Navy Federal created a fully loaded car buying experience for you where you can finance, buy, protect, and even enjoy your auto purchase all from one convenient place. They offer great auto loan rates, too. And your pre-approval is good for 90 days, so you can know what you can afford while you shop. You can even shop for new and used cars with Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar. Also, you can get exclusive member savings with Carfax, SiriusXM, and more. And because it's Navy Federal, they're always available with 24/7 member service representatives to answer any questions. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/car buying. That's NavyFederal.org/car buying. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA. Lost amongst the Tom Brady hoopla. And the Baker Mayfield hoopla. in the NFC South is the fact that the New Orleans Saints are moving forward with Jameis Winston. In case you're wondering if Jameis Winston knows his body, because that's the question. How's he coming back from his knee injury? If you're wondering, does he know his body? Because, again, he's rehabbing that knee. He sure does. All I know is this is the greatest, either the greatest biology lesson ever, or a new children's tune hit based on the Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes theme song that we all know. Jameis Winston yesterday on his body.
I learned so much about my body when I had the ACL, just the importance of other parts of your body being overcompensated because you're overusing something else. So just a holistic body, everything about your body, you have to be able to work certain things. Just because my knee hurting, that doesn't mean that I need to work my knee. I need to work my hips, right? I need to work my ankles. And you got certain things that are, we're all like, it's, our body is so symmetrical, right? You got your wrists, you know, and then what are your wrists on the bottom half? Your ankles, you know, you got your shoulders up top. What are your shoulders? Your hips, you know what I'm saying? You got your elbows. What are your elbows?
Knees.
Your knees, right? Like, so it's symmetrical and you just got to work different parts.
So,
he's so
from now on,
he's amazing.
Refer to your ankles around here as your bottom wrists and your elbows as your top knees. Can you write, you want to write it down so you remember? Hey, that the high ankle, lower wrist sprain. Matt Stafford's knees are fine. What he had surgically repaired was his upper knee. His throwing upper knee.
His throwing upper knee, yeah.
Which is kind of makes it sound like he was nauseous.
So Jimmy,
his throwing upper knee.
Wait, so Jimmy had non-throwing hip surgery?
Yes, he did. No, non-throwing upper hip surgery.
Right.
Again, you should write it down. It can be very confusing.
Very, very confusing.
But symmetrical.
I mean, fantastic.
So Jesus. what you do, he was eating W's with his upper toes back in the day. You know what? And I'm going to say it. And Rex Ryan loves his lower fingers. Loves it.
The lower hands. He loves lower hands.
Oh, I thought the fingers.
Well, he's more of a lower hand guy. He's more of a lower hand guy, I think.
Oh. Lower hands. And those are his upper toes eating W's. Which, as we also know, upside down M's. Oh, this is a blast. Football's back.
Yeah.
And Jameis Winston is teaching biology and symmetry. Just in time for kickoff.
Jameis is the comedic gift that keeps on giving.
Head, upper hips, lower elbows, and lower hands. Lower hands. Head. Upper hips. Lower elbows and lower fingers.
Yeah.
Right?
Eyes and ears and mouth and nose.
Head, upper hips.
Lower elbows. Lower fingers. Lower elbows. Lower fingers.
The people don't have kids because me and TJ are looking at each other like, what do you got?
You don't know this song?
You don't know Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes.
Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes.
Nope.
Mike, you're an uncle, aren't you?
Come on. Eyes and ears and mouth and nose.
Not a chance.
Oh, my God. What are you doing over there that you're not even in this thing? What are you doing?
TJ's like, what
are you doing? You're looking at your fantasy team? You drafted in Ashton's barn the other night.
As I just put on the chat, I have no idea what's happening right now.
By the way, if people think that guy's going to be a playoff quarterback?
You damn well can be, and I cannot wait to a Super Bowl media day where he's teaching biology and then expanding out to chemistry. Do not underestimate that man.
We're back with more in a moment.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.